today, the high 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 52 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. You see him host Tide or Insider TV. Crimson Tide Kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, good morning, everybody, and welcome in to the Gary Harris Show for this Thursday, November the 9th, 2025. I'm your host, Gary Harris. Chase Brunfels alongside Man the Controls, taking your phone calls on the Gary Harris Show hotline at 205-342-9904. And we got a good show on tap for you today. It's been a little bit of a change. D. Orlando Ledbetter's in Berlin for the Falcons game, and I thought we were going to be able to get him on, but not going to be able to get him on this morning. Hopefully, we can get Adam Amin on. He's also, as we know, over in Berlin. He's on the call for the game tomorrow. But I had gotten a text from Orlando last night. He said he wouldn't be able to use his phone. And I talked to Chase about maybe doing a Zoom or something. But I guess we're not going to be able to do that, Chase, the way it set up. You weren't too sure about it. So we're going to just bump D. Orlando. Won't be able to talk about the Falcons, which I'm disappointed in that, but we still have Ellis Johnson, the coach, at 9:30 to talk SEC football. Jeff Spiegel at 10:30. Your phone calls are welcome on the hotline at 205-342-9904. And right now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this hour of the Gary Harris Show being brought to you, as always, by Alabama Credit Union, empowering our members, enriching our community. Alabama Credit Union is more than just a financial institution. It's a member-owned community deeply rooted in rich historical values. Our central focus is empowering members, driving us to positively impact the community through financial success, and they do that every day. Find out more at alabamacu.com. That's alabamacu.com. Or get by and see them in one of their 38 locations in Alabama and one in Northwest Florida, including the main office right here in Tuscaloosa. Alabama Credit Union, loans for real life. Some rules and restrictions do apply. See if you're eligible for membership, then join today and feel good about your money. And put a little extra change in your pocket. All right. One thing I want to go ahead and mention here at the top, there's a chance for some storms tomorrow night. And you know how we've gotten about high school football in this state. If there's a chance for some weather, of course I get it when there's lightning, but I'm trying to punch it in right now and find the latest, but some of the games in high school football in the state of Alabama have been moved up from Friday night to tonight, including Northside, which is going to be at home 10-0, taking on Beauregard tonight up in Samantha. So I had it pulled up earlier, but I will here we go. Let me go ahead and give you right off the top here the games that have been moved up to Thursday from here in West Alabama. This isn't all of the games that have been moved up around the state, but this is games that have been moved up to tonight involving West Alabama teams. Northside hosts Beauregard tonight at 7 o'clock. Of course, the Rams are 10-0, the number one seed, and Beauregard is 3-7, so you would figure that would be a Rams victory tonight. Winfield is playing tonight against Glencoe in Class 3A and Class 2A. Selegiet travels to Southeastern in Class 1A. South Lamar is at Wadley over in East Alabama. The rest of the games in West Alabama, as of right now, my understanding, are going to be played tomorrow night. Now, there were some of these teams that I think wanted to move their games up to Thursday night, but remember, it's not just about you playing at home. It's about the other team and its ability to travel. So I know that some of these teams here in West Alabama had talked about playing on Thursday, but then their opponent said, no, we can't come up until Friday. So hopefully we won't get any severe weather tomorrow night and all the games will go off without a hitch, but it's the first round of the state playoffs. So that is a big, big deal. Of course, Alabama and LSU, weather should not be a concern by Saturday night, as It'll be out of here. We'll be warm Saturday night because we're going to have the cool down. I mean, it's going to get cold early next week, but the front's not going to come through until Sunday morning. So Saturday night's going to be balmy. I think, you know, 60s, upper 60s, maybe even low 70s at kickoff time on Saturday night. So that won't be an issue. And then overnight Saturday night, it'll be warm. But come Sunday morning around, you know, 8 o'clock or so, that front's going to come through, and there's going to be a big chill. Big chill's going to hit. And then, you know, shoot, early next week, we're talking about some freezing weather. So that's on tap for this weekend. Of course, Alabama basketball at St. John's on Saturday morning, 11 a.m. tip in Madison Square Garden on FS1. Of course, the Crimson Tide Sports Network as well. Huge game for the Crimson Tide early in this season on Saturday. All right, we're off and running. Listen, phone calls are already stacked up. We got the coach, Ellis Johnson, coming up at 9:30. So let's go ahead and take some calls, and that way we can make sure we got plenty of time. We'll take one call in this segment, then we'll take calls in the next segment, 205-342-9904. And the sheriff's going to go ahead and lead us off, and then in the next block we'll get to Mary in Atlanta, Mary in the ATL, and we'll also get to Corey in Trustful. Hey, good morning, Tom.
Gary, good morning. I wanted to ask, I've been meaning to call you and ask you this all week. I thought Casey on golf on Monday was outstanding. And this is why. He brought up the Ryder Cup and the deficiencies that we had as a team, the American team, compared to the European team. And when he said that the Europeans went in and they took analytics, and they analyzed golf shots and scores and who matched up with who. And so I found that to be absolutely fascinating.
Great. Yeah, Casey knows his stuff when it comes to that game.
Do you not remember him saying that?
I do, and I agree. I agree with you, man. I think fascinating, yeah.
I mean, you know, analytics is such a major part. We said this like, I don't know, 5 million times. And everybody uses the word analytics on every situation now. But I just never did associate it applied like that with golf. And when he said that, I went, that is unreal. And then, you know, saying that we kind of, the Americans kind of got snookered by that, by the Europeans in that regard.
Yeah, maybe I can see his point and your point too. I mean, it seems like that they are, they got a leg up on the USA when it comes to that and using analytics to, you know, put their matches together rather than just, hey, we want to, you know, the Americans still seem to look at it. I'm going to put this guy with this guy because they like each other, or I got a gut feel on this guy. Right. Maybe not using the statistics and the numbers the way they need to, but if they're going to win a Ryder Cup again, they're going to have to make some changes, it feels like, especially going over to European soil in 2 years.
I agree 100%. And they're going to have to get out of the frat house mentality. That's what the selection has become. I'm choosing my fraternity brother. This is a fraternity of who likes who gets along. It's not about, you know, who necessarily is playing the best or the best putter or whatever. I think it's gotten out of control on the starting with the selection of the team and their mentality all the way through the competition.
Yeah. I think you're right on, brother.
Anyway, I was thinking about that one. Call in. I'm going to let Mary talk. I know she's got a lot to offer. I'll tell you about
it. Thank you, Tom. Appreciate it, man. All right, we'll tell you what we'll do. We'll go ahead and take a break, and let's go ahead and take Mary in the ATL. We got time to do that, and then I'll leave Corey plenty of time in the next segment. Hey, Mary.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. I had a thought, you know, come to my mind the past couple of days, and I know that, you know, my opinion is different than everybody else's. Not everybody, you know, believes the same or agrees or whatnot. But just something I was thinking during an interview that I heard the other day. Do you feel like the momentum is there? I mean, I know we have the talent. We've got a great roster. Is the momentum there, you know, throughout the remaining games of the season to possibly go undefeated in conference play?
Yeah, I think they got a good chance to do that. I mean, you know, it's a four-game stretch now, three of them in the SEC. I think they're capable of winning every game. I think Alabama will be favored in every game that they play, including, of course, this Saturday. Having said that, I think there's also a situation where, you know, they could stumble if they're not ready to go. I mean, when you look at LSU and you look at Oklahoma and you look at Auburn down there at Jordan-Hare, all those teams are capable. So you've got to bring it. And I think if Alabama plays well, they'll win every one of those games. But if they don't play their best, I don't think they're good enough that they can go out there and have a poor effort and necessarily win. They were very fortunate to get out of Columbia, South Carolina with a win. I think Alabama needs to play well, and they need to be focused on doing their best. You got to remember too, the run game has been iffy. So you know, that gives me concern. You know, if you get into one of these games against Oklahoma and they're, you know, Venables has got something dialed up and they're taking stuff away from Ty Simpson, maybe you're going to have to be able to run the ball better than they've been able to run it. So, you know, we'll see. Yeah. But I really like the fact that Alabama's in this position, that they've gotten to this point. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, well, as far as, you know, the run game goes, is that not just that also, but is that one of the main, you know, keys to victory going forward in the next couple games? Is that one of the main keys to victory to maintain the momentum and just keep the winning streak going?
Well, running the ball?
Yes.
Yeah, I think they need to run it better. I do. I mean, they're not going to reinvent themselves. I mean, they're not going to be, you know, averaging whatever they're averaging, 115 yards a game, and then suddenly rush for 250, I don't think. But maybe you can get up to 150 in a game. You know, they've done that a couple of times. And I think running the ball does a lot of things. You can shorten the game if you need to, if you've got a lead. Takes a little bit of pressure off of Ty. I mean, let's be honest. Ty has been phenomenal. And Alabama, without Ty Simpson, if they had average or below average quarterback play this year, they're probably a 4-4 team or 5-3 team or 3-5 team. I mean, he's been the difference, I think, in getting them to this point. So they're going to continue to ride Ty Simpson. I think he's going to continue to play well. But, yeah, I think a good running game sets the tone and could certainly help this team down the stretch. But, yes, Mary, I think they could go 10-1. Or I'm going to check that, 11-1, 8-0 in the SEC going into the SEC championship game. By the same token, if you don't play well, you could stumble in a game or two. And that would, you know, I could throw the entire season off. You know, track. So, you know, got to go finish. Put themselves in a good position, right where they want to be. Now they got to go finish it.
Right. Well, I know y'all got to get to break and everything, so I'll let y'all go, and I'll see y'all next Friday. I'll be in town next Friday for a little while.
Okay, I look forward to it. Absolutely, Mary. Thank you. All right, it is 9:17, and we're going to get to a break, and we will come back and take some more phone calls at 205-342-9904. The Coach Ellis Johnson coming up at 9:30. This is the Gary Harris Show on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good morning. It's Mary Kay from the Town Square Media Newsroom. And a cold front will move across Alabama on Friday, bringing a threat of severe weather, including a marginal risk for West Alabama. And Alabama versus LSU this Saturday at Bryant Denny Stadium. Find out what to expect weather and temperature-wise with our hour-by-hour guide at TuscaloosaThread.com. And as you prepare to cheer on the Alabama Crimson Tide, find out what Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer had to say during his Hey Coach show headed into the Bama LSU game. Plus, get the scoop on the Week 11 SEC power ranking by tapping the Tuscaloosa Thread app.
As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend to reminisce on college days or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three.
New floors to go. Flooring so durable, even your in-laws won't ruin it. Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today, because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
Since 2011, Billy's Sports Grill, located on Main Avenue in historic downtown Northport, has been serving their legendary signature chicken sandwich, award-winning wings, and handcrafted cocktails. Billy's is also the spot to watch all your favorite sporting events with big screen, high definition televisions, both dining rooms, at the bar, and out
his clients. Remember, M for money and Mesrano.
If it has a logo on it, call me, 205-800-8000.
You see him on WVUA 23 covering sports and on Tider Insider TV on Tuesday nights. Don't miss a minute of the Gary Harris Show. Weekdays from 9 to 11 on Tide 100.9.
Welcome back into the Gary Harris Show here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports. And we're going to jump right back out on the hotline and welcome in Corey from over in Trustful. Good morning, Corey.
Hey, Gary, how are you this morning?
Doing great.
You know, there are some people that will say that Bryant Denny is not an intimidating place to play because Alabama wins based off talent. But you've been there plenty of times to know that Bryant Denny can be loud and make a difference. Yes, it may not rank up there with Ohio State or Penn State or teams like that, but when Alabama needs to get, fans need to get loud, they can get loud and make a difference. And while, yes, Alabama 99% of the time has been the more talented team in Bryant Denny Stadium and have won based off talent, and a lot of that's come under Nick Saban. Fans know what to do when they get loud, and Kalen DeBoer has challenged the fans to come out and be loud, and I'm pretty sure they're going to show out and support for this team because they're going to need it for LSU coming, because like, LSU is not going to back down, and I'm sure with the being the night game, Bryant Denny's going to be at full throat, and we're going to need it to be.
Well, first of all, you're absolutely right. Bryant Denny's a great home atmosphere, and I've never understood this narrative that's out there that it's not a great home atmosphere. It is incredible. It rocks. And fans have been tremendous this year. I've been to every home game, and I can tell you they've been outstanding. You're right. Most of the time, Alabama's had great teams. And I continue to say this. You can give me all this stuff about home atmosphere and the crowd. If you got a bad football team, none of that matters, man. I mean, the toughest places to play are the places that have the best teams. I mean, all the talk about Auburn, and I get it. That's a nice, it's a great atmosphere, and their fans are supportive. And have they been anybody at home this year in the SEC? I don't think they've won a. In fact, I know they haven't. They haven't won an SEC game at home this year. Hadn't won many over the last few years. So if you don't have a good team, you know, the atmosphere really doesn't matter as much. I mean, so but Alabama has had great success at home. The record at Bryant Denny throughout the years is up there with any in college football. DeBoer has not lost a game at Bryant Denny so far in his 2 years as the head coach. And you're right. He does understand the fans play a big part in that. When you have a good team and you have a big-time crowd, and I've seen great crowds for every game I've been at this year, including Louisiana Monroe. So I expect that to continue tomorrow night and next Saturday against Oklahoma. And, you know, even against Eastern Illinois. So I think the crowd plays its part. But if you got a bad football team, you know, odds are the crowd can only help you so much. So, you know, good home field advantages and great home records start with having good teams.
Have you noticed, the changes they've made to Bryant Denny? Like, have you noticed the fans enjoy it more? Like, they said they made upgrades to the team. Have you noticed the change? I don't know how much you talk to fans, but how much the fans enjoy the atmosphere better there since they made upgrades to the stadium?
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt, and especially night games, which we're going to have one, you know, Saturday night with the light show and all the things that they do with the music and the entertainment and always something going on during the timeouts. There's never any just dead time. There's either somebody being honored and recognized on the field, or like I said, the music that the students get into. I think it's a terrific atmosphere, and I think the fans, and I think that's happening all over the country. College football is an experience, particularly like we're talking about. If something happens that you're a program that does not have a great team, you got to try to entertain the fans in other ways. And all these programs, and Alabama included, man, they go to great effort to make it an event, a football game, yes, but also they want the fans, the students, to be entertained during the timeouts, during the breaks in the game, halftime. Million Dollar Band continues to be awesome. So, yeah, because, you're going to be in that stadium. Rarely these games go under 3.5 hours. Some of them are close to 4 hours, And then you got pregame, getting out. You're going to probably be in that stadium, 5 hours, for most of these fans by the time you get in. And, because most fans get on in there a little bit before the game, at least, 30 minutes or an hour before the game. So you're talking probably about 5 hours. That's a long time. And, pregame, they're entertaining. So, yeah, I think they've done a terrific job, Corey.
As far as high school football goes, wanted to get your ask Jeff Spiegel what he thinks of these playoff games weekend, if there's any upsets brewing, because there could be. I know most of the time the better teams win, but there could be some upsets. I don't know any of them particularly, but you never know when playoffs start, the whole new season.
Yeah, it is, and I'll ask him if he's got his eyes on some upsets over there in the Birmingham area. And, early in the playoffs, usually these first-round games go pretty much by script. I mean, you got four seeds playing one seeds. Four seeds are on the road. So there aren't that many upsets. But there's always a possibility that one region's a lot tougher than the other region. And even a four seed from that region might be better than, or as good as a one seed from another region. But usually these go pretty much to script. But as we get into the second round and beyond, you start seeing a lot of what we would call upset. So I'll certainly ask him about that. Yeah.
I'm trying to figure this out. Clay Chalkville is playing at home tonight. I think they got Jackson Olin, but he was playing Opelika, and they're playing tomorrow. And I'm just trying to figure out why he would play tonight. Because Clay and Hugh is only a mile apart. I'm just trying to figure out why they wouldn't move the game. Hewitt would move the game tonight.
Well, there might be a possibility that Jackson Olin couldn't travel. Or who'd you say Hewitt's playing?
Opelika.
Yeah, Opelika may not want to travel up on Thursday. I mean, you have to get the other team to agree to it. And so it isn't just, hey, we want to move our game to Thursday. I mean, all these games are scheduled for Friday. So it takes cooperation from the other team. So even if they had wanted to move it, Opelika might have said, hey, that's not convenient for us. And our fans have made plans to travel on Friday. So they have to agree to it as well.
Yeah, I tell you what, that Hoover Central Phoenix City game is going to be interesting.
Yeah, it is. That's going to be that's a good one. That's one I'm going to ask Jeff about in a little bit. Hey, got to run, Corey. I want to get one more call. I'll call him before the break, man. Have a great weekend, or call back tomorrow for sure.
You too, Gary. Roll Tide.
All right, thank you. All right, let's get to Philip here before we hit the break. Hey, Philip.
Yeah, the Bryant-Denny Stadium is such a unique environment, especially before the game. It's that area over there by Rama Jama. That's a tight little area right there, and it's just amazed me how the people funnel through that little area and go to Gate 22, Gate 21 over in there by the press box side, the old press box side. And then have you ever? I'm sure you have, but I've got a photo I'm going to send you of a game I took last year after the game where I was headed up. I guess it's Bryant Drive after the game, headed towards Canterbury Chapel. To my car, and I took a photo of the crowd after the game. I think it was against South Carolina last year. I'm gonna send it to you. It's just an amazing photo. Just a sea of people.
Yeah.
It's one of the cool photos I've got. But that's a unique stadium. I love going there. It's a lot of fun. I think I've been there when it's so loud you couldn't hear the person next to you. So it does get a bad rap on that because it can get explosive in there.
I agree with you 100%. Yeah, send me that picture, Philip. I'll look forward to seeing it.
Yeah, I'll send it to you right now. It's a cool picture. I want you to look at it.
All right. Thanks, man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, 9:30 here on the Gary Harris Show. The YMCA of Tuscaloosa is ready for you, and you're ready for the Y. And 2313 Street downtown, beautiful facility, great membership, great staff. Jeff Knox, the CEO, and the entire staff, they do it right. Check into personal training. If you've hit the wall or you're having a hard time reaching your fitness goals, their personal trainers, all certified, can help you go where you would like to be as far as your fitness and health. All right, we'll be back with the coach, Ellis Johnson, breaking down SEC football next, right here on the...
Another language? Save up to 50% on your Babbel subscription when you sign up at Babbel.com. That's Babbel.com to save up to 50%. Babbel.com.
Roll Tide, the best sports talk, period. Your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Told me goodbye. 9:34, time for the coach, Ellis Johnson, for his weekly analysis of SEC football. Coach, good morning.
Good morning, Gary.
Let's start with the latest coach firing. That's four now in the SEC, and I want to get your thoughts on how this got to this point. Hugh Freeze's daughter went out on TikTok and expressed her frustration and said they were promised 4 years, which I have no doubt they probably were. But I don't think Auburn people thought that they were going to be seeing the offensive ineptness that they saw for, going on 3 years under Hugh Freeze. How did we get to this point? And it all came to a head against a Kentucky team that's not very good. Auburn scored 3 points, and that field goal came after an interception return set them up at the 20-something yard line of Kentucky before the end of the half. You get beat 10-3 at home. He being Freeze, kept talking about how he had upgraded the roster offensively. They do have talent at running back, at wide receiver. But the quarterback evaluation's number one, and then the quarterback development just didn't happen. I mean, regardless of who they brought in, the results were the same. It's just a really bad offensive football team, and Hugh Freeze and Auburn part ways on Sunday following that loss. What's your takeaway from it?
If I had to kind of put some kind of analysis on it, I think he waited a little bit too long on his quarterback move 2 years ago and kept hoping Ashton would come along. Then when he went out in the market, my understanding is that Jackson Arnold was either third or fourth choice because two or three of the other picks went somewhere else. Now, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But there's no question that the main problem in this whole thing for the two or three years that has been trying to be straightened out is he inherited a mess, number one. Number two, he did do a good job in the portal and in recruiting, and I think he did change that roster. But the quarterback situation never got back on track. And it's been the rock in the shoe the whole time. It's a shame, as well as they played on defense, that they've ended up with this record. I frankly didn't like the fire, and I think they should have gone another year. But I'm not on the inside. I don't know how bad it is. I don't know what the fan base, the support from the board, for all the powers to be, when you have that kind of a game against a bad Kentucky team. This is not one of Mark Stoops' best teams by any stretch. 7 sacks. There was no offensive performance, period. And I think everybody was just like, this hadn't been fixed. We've had 3 years to do it, and we can't figure out what's wrong, so we're going to make a change.
DJ Durkin, the defensive coordinator, who's done a really good job, takes over as interim head coach. And now this is a program that is on the verge, if they don't get this turned around, of a fifth consecutive losing season, which I can't even fathom that a program with the resources of Auburn could be on its way to a fifth consecutive losing season. Now they got to go to Vanderbilt on Saturday afternoon. And this Vanderbilt team, they got down early. They did not play well early in the game against Texas, and it looked like it was going to be a blowout, but still they fought back and came within a onside kick of having a chance to win that game and almost got that onside kick. But Vanderbilt still, I think, is holding out hope that if they went out, they can, have a shot at the college football playoff. And here's Auburn now with, interim head coach. Any chance that, they get a little juice from the change and can go into Nashville and give Vanderbilt a game?
They'll probably play emotionally. I've been involved in two of those where the head coach was let go for the end of the season. Players react really emotionally and come ready to play that first week, and it wears off after that. because they don't know who's coaching them. They don't know who's going to be there, even the assistants. And it's just something that's too hard to hold together. DJ has done a great job of the defense the whole year, but I don't know what he can do to fix quarterback problems and to function on dysfunctional offense. So I think they've got a hard job ahead of them to try to win up at Vanderbilt. The reason that Vandy got beat up there, though, Texas took away the possession time. You know, that's the way Vandy's been winning, by controlling the ball and putting up great rushing stats and so forth. And Texas took away the running game at least well enough that they had to throw the ball some. They didn't stay on the field as long. And their defense just not good enough to hold up against a good offense when that's the case. It may be a better matchup for Auburn. Auburn's really good on defense. Maybe they can take those possession times away again. But I think Vanderbilt will probably beat them, and it may be a good ball game, but I'd be shocked if Auburn pulls off that upset.
All right, let's get to Tuscaloosa Saturday night. Alabama hosting LSU, another interim head coach, this time for LSU with Frank Wilson, new play caller. They've had a bye week, though, as at Alabama. So Frank Wilson and that reworked staff have had an opportunity to kind of put together, you know, their organization, how they want to have it coming in here. Alabama is a 9.5-point favorite. Crimson Tide has positioned itself perfectly. They're 7-1 overall. They're 5-0 in the SEC. They're number 4 in the college football playoff rankings. They came out on Tuesday night. But you got to finish the drill, as you know. And they got 4 games left, 3 in conference, beginning on Saturday night. And, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think Alabama's a really good team. They're not a dominant team. Been in a lot of close games. It wouldn't surprise me if this one's close in the second half. But I think Alabama at home should be able to take care of LSU. What do you think?
Yeah, their last outing was not good. They didn't play well at South Carolina. But they're learning how to win and win close ball games. They were coming off a four-game stretch, four ranked teams in
right.
a row. And to me, they looked a little drained mentally at South Carolina. And South Carolina's a dangerous football team, too. But they've had the open date, so has LSU. Maybe that'll help LSU be ready, a little bit more organized and so forth with all the coaching shifting and all that. But unless Alabama, is still in that mental situation they were with South Carolina and doesn't seem to be hitting on all cylinders, I think they beat LSU by double digits. But they've got to play better than they did their last outing.
When you look at Alabama, Coach, and you know a lot about the Alabama football tradition, having coached here twice, been part of a national championship. When you look at Alabama football, traditionally, offensively, it's been built under on the run game and, physical offense. They're 14th in the league in rushing. I think that 116th in the nation. And they've run it at times, and they've run it enough to keep the defense honest. But let's cut to the chase here. If Ty Simpson has been average or below average, this is probably a 4-4 type team, maybe 3-5, 5-3, somewhere in that range. I mean, his quarterback play has elevated this team because they've really had a hard time consistently running the football. You're 8 games in. You're probably not going to reinvent yourself. But I think listening to coaches over there and talking with some people, they feel like they need to get the running game better than it's been this final 4 games. How can you do that when you've got the backs that you've got, the offensive linemen that you've got? What can you do to try and improve the running game down the stretch?
Well, they can go back and look at play calling, see if there's anything they could have done differently, missed some opportunities, to put it on the ground. They don't have a running quarterback. He's pretty nifty in the pocket, and he escapes sometimes. He's not a big-time threat to run the football. And that, in college football today, that goes back to you got to have a great offensive line, maybe like Texas A&M, and you got to have a horse and a good running back, big premier SEC running back. I don't think they have those. So I don't know how they fix it. They've had a week to improve it, but I don't know how you just completely change it. And they are who they are. There are no bullies in the league, frankly. Everybody's got some little spot in their football team that – keeps them from being a complete dominant team like we saw some of them in the last 4 to 10 years. And that's because of the portal. It's because of some of the other things that keep people from stacking depth. And right now they just don't have this dominant physicality in the areas that you mentioned. But, they're good enough to win, good enough to beat anybody on a given day. But it's exactly like you say. They have to have real good decision execution on offense because they can't just go in and bully people like they used to.
All right, let's take a look at – it's not a great schedule this week. A lot of buys, but Texas A&M and Missouri. A game that A&M right now, third in the playoff rankings, unbeaten. And we know that, boy, the defensively, they've got a lot of athletes. I thought against LSU, like they had 12 or 13 guys on defense at times. But this is a game that they better be ready to go. Missouri sitting there in Columbia waiting on A&M. Is this an upset watch type of game? A&M's a 6.5-point favorite.
I don't think so. I think it'll be a decent ball game for a while because Missouri has a good defense and they've got a great running back. They're down to the second quarterback, if not down to the third. Fabula's hurt, and I'm not sure the second guy's not hurt. I was one of the people last week, Gary, that got ambushed by the YouTube Disney crew. And I didn't see a lot of football.
Oh, boy. So
they were coming off a bye anyhow. They didn't play last week, and neither did Texas A&M. Texas A&M is so dominant up front on offense. As long as Marcel Reed continues to improve the way he has his last three games, I don't see Missouri being able to stick with them.
Georgia at Mississippi State. This is another one that, you know, Georgia, you know, listen, man, you got to give the Bulldogs a lot of credit. I mean, I think they've trailed in the second half of every SEC game that they've had, and the only one that they lost was Alabama. I mean, they just keep finding ways to win. There's a lot of toughness there. There's a lot of grit. Kirby is a really old-school style football coach. And then you got Mississippi State, which finally broke through last week at Arkansas after probably, you know, we've talked about it. Should have beat Texas. Should have beat Tennessee. Probably should have beat Florida on the road. It's an early kick, 11 a.m. kick. But what about Georgia? Is this a game? They're a 9.5-point favorite. Could you see Mississippi State taking this one down to the fourth quarter?
Well, you know, anybody in this conference is capable of getting somebody else on a given weekend. But I don't think this one is going to be one of those. I was on the other day on a podcast with a guy who does a lot of analytics. Georgia is not in the top 25 in offensive efficiency or defensive efficiency. But they know how to win. And if they get in close ball games, they know how to play under pressure. And they take care of the football at critical times. They make big-time plays when their backs are against the wall. You just almost have to crush them and kill them to beat them. And they're not like they used to be. Their roster doesn't look like it did 3 and 4 years ago, but they've still got some really good football players on there. And then Stockton, to me, is just a winner. May not be the greatest physical threat on the field, but he's a winner. And, I mean, he's playing well enough to carry that football team and keep him from having a bad day on offense and defensively. Same thing. They just make those critical plays at the right time. They didn't have an easy time with Florida. But at the end of the ball game, they outplayed them and made third downs and took care of the football and, you know, got out of there with a win. And that's what they've done 3 or 4 times this year. State's found a way to lose ball games, as you just said. And they'll play hard. They got a good-looking team for roster-wise, but I don't think they can play with Georgia.
Coach Ellis Johnson with us here on the Gary Harris Show. All right, Florida, Kentucky. Florida's already gotten rid of Billy Napier. There's a lot of talk, even though Stoops has got the big contract. You know, he did get to win at Auburn, which helps him a little bit, but that Kentucky and Stoops might work out something in the offseason if they can't, you know, win a few more games. So these are two teams that Florida's already transitioned or are in the process of transitioning. They're going to have a new coach next year. Kentucky might be. But these are SEC games. They're important. And I think, you know, both of these teams are going to play hard here. Florida is favored by 3.5. I'm not sure I see that one on the road, but this is one of those games that I can't get a feel for either way. I mean, Kentucky did win at Auburn, but we talked about how bad Auburn was offensively. Florida gave Georgia a game last week. I mean, you know, different call here and there by the interim coach, and they might have won that game. So how do you see this one on Saturday night?
Well, you know, we talked a while ago about what happens when you fire a coach in the middle of the season. Did it get a little juice and all that? Well, they tried last week, and they were close, but they didn't win. It'll be interesting to see how Florida looks emotionally. Are they keyed in mentally? Do they make a lot of pre-snap penalties? Do they take care of the football or not? They didn't have a single turnover last week. but I think they've got a better-looking roster than Kentucky. But playing at Kentucky and Kentucky having a, you know, needing to win, getting close to a bowl game, I don't know if they can even make that. I think Florida will win this game, but Lagway will have to. He took care of the ball last week, but he'll have to play a little bit better and make some big plays.
And, of course, Ole Miss is playing the Citadel, so that's a game that we're not going to really touch on. Hey, I want to ask you about the playoffs.
Gary, right? Now, Gary, if I was still playing, it'd be a game.
Yeah, okay. I didn't even think about that, the alma mater there. The Citadel, well, we know one thing.
I've already graduated. I don't think Ole Miss will have any trouble.
Hey, I'll say this. You know, the Citadel is going to be disciplined. They have got four wins, but I will say this. This is one of those games they don't even post a line on it. So,
I saw a line on it, and it was 54.5.
Oh, Lord, okay. Well, one thing about Citadel is they should get a good paycheck, Coach. That always helps out, right?
Yeah, they'll need more than money to get home. They'll need some medical help.
All right. Yeah, I should have not skipped over that for that reason. The proud alma mater of Coach Ellis Johnson. But I do want to ask you about the first playoff rankings. Ohio State 1, Indiana 2, A&M 3, Alabama 4, you know, then Georgia and Ole Miss. It looks like for sure that the SEC is going to get a minimum of four teams. I could still see a scenario where they could possibly get five, you know, depending on what Texas does, Vanderbilt. And you got a situation right now where the ACC may only get one. The Big Ten, outside of those top two, is scrambling for some teams. So what do you think for the SEC? Is there potential to get five teams in the college football playoff?
Possibly. The problem is, although it's cooling down just a little bit, we're still in the period of the circular firing squad. And there's some showdown, you know, between some of these teams that are in that top 12 in the SEC, and they're going to play each other. Mm-hmm. So some of it will work itself out. I think one thing, this is the third or the fourth week in a row, there are no Big Ten teams playing each other and both of them ranked. Three or four weeks in a row now.
Mm-hmm.
SEC, they've had ranked teams playing each other for the last 5 weeks. So that, you know, will they get six in there? I'd be shocked. I might even be surprised if they end up with four in there, but we will see. I think the teams to look at right now, not just in the SEC, you need to be looking at that like 12 through 16 down there, because that's where all the controversy comes in when it all plays out. And, you know, ACC getting the team in there, Utah right now would be on the out. They'd be the ones on the bubble, have to move out of the way. And Virginia would move up. Oklahoma would have to move out of the way. So it's still a lot of variables in it, but there certainly are six SEC teams that are worthy of it.
All right. In your state, a lot of coaching unrest at South Carolina and at Clemson. First of all, South Carolina fired Mike Shula, the offensive coordinator. Guy you know well. Is Beamer going to be back next year?
Well, I think some of these things he's doing are job-saving moves, I guess. I have no other explanation for the logic in it. He just evaluated the guy 9 months ago and gave him the job. And now all of a sudden he's the problem. Offensive line coach was working in the program when he was elevated. I don't know what's going on in the building, so I probably should – you know, hold my opinions to myself, but it's just not a good look. I was on last night for another show with Chuck Reed, and he just said, you know, it just doesn't give a good look to the head man when you're firing coaches that you picked.
Right.
And you picked them within the last 2 years. So, you know, whether it'll fix the problem, I don't know who else they've got in the building to build themselves as quarterbacks with any experience. So I just don't know. I don't have the explanation for it, but I also am not, you know, and knowledgeable enough and involved with it enough there to understand it.
Obviously, Clemson's not going to fire Dabo Swinney. At the same time, you know, from the outside looking in, it just kind of feels like that may have run its course. I mean, he said earlier this year, well, if they're tired of winning, they can fire me. Then after the loss to Duke, you know, he referenced the AD and said, you know, he's standing back there. Maybe he'll want to – I don't know. It's almost like Dabo just keeps kind of taunting him a little bit. Do you think if somebody were to kick the tires on Dabo, whether it would be Arkansas or another job out there, that he would take a look at this point at maybe at leaving Clemson? Where do you think that situation stands?
I don't think he would. Okay. Unless he sees some things in his roster that I don't notice. In other words, if he feels like he's got 5 or 6 critical players and he's not sure he can keep them, or if he's got some other issues with the depth chart or something and he doesn't know the solution, I just can't imagine it. I would be surprised if they're not coaching changes, staff changes. I don't know what they would be, but, you know, he's been frustrated all year with the performance being, he feels like, coachable things that they continue to, the players continue to mess up. So, you know, it's going to happen, but now I don't see him job hunting. I don't even see him entertaining phone calls with his agent or anything from anywhere, pros, college, or anything else. I don't think so, but that's just me looking at it from the outside in.
And lastly, we talk a lot about how you can't play dominant defense anymore. And again, I mean, they've overwhelmed some teams, but I do want to ask you about Ohio State because they are playing dominant defense. I mean, they are first in just about every major defensive category. 5.9 points per game allowed only 4 touchdowns all season, 216 yards, 3.8 yards per play. They've only given up 13 explosives. Opposition third down percentage, 21%. I mean, they're playing dominant defense. Now, again, maybe the competition hasn't been there, but the narrative that you can't play dominant defense, Matt Patricia's crew is doing it this year. I mean, those are some remarkable numbers, even if 20 years ago, but much less now.
Yeah, no question about it. One of the most impressive, I think, is third down defense. And it's, you know, I haven't seen them play much, so it's very hard for me to give some kind of educated evaluation. But I do say, you got to come back, got to look. You know, they haven't played a real good schedule. And so it's much easier when you don't have to play through 4 quarters in a physical ball game. You're kind of ready to go the next week. Whereas in the SEC, it gets to drag on you, like Alabama's previous 4 weeks before they went to South Carolina. I mean, on 19 and 20-year-olds, that it really takes a toll. And it's hard to keep them focused. And some of them are a little bit tired and beat up. And so it just, you know, you can't take days off like you do in the pros. You can't have walkthroughs and be ready to play on Saturday with college players. You got to work a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think they're probably the most complete team in the league, unless Indiana is. And Indiana's got a hell of a lot better quarterback, I think. May not be statistically, but I think he's a hell of a lot better quarterback than Ohio State has. And if they continue to play the way they're playing, I'm not sure they wouldn't be Ohio State.
Wow. Great stuff, Coach. Appreciate you as always, man.
Enjoyed it, Garrett.
Enjoyed it. 9:56, and what do you want to do here, Chase? You want to go ahead and double them up? All right, we're going to go ahead and close out this hour of the Gary Harris Show, and when we come back on the other side of this timeout, we'll be in the second hour. And as I said, D. Orlando Ledbetter not going to be able to be with us this week because he's over in Berlin. So we'll have plenty more time for phone calls. I know we got a ton of calls early and had to cut some of them maybe a little bit short. I don't like to do that, but we have to stay on time the best we can. I don't do a great job of that. But this hour has been brought to you by Alabama Credit Union. We'll also have Jeff Spiegel coming up at 10:30. So also some tragic news involving the Dallas Cowboys. I mean, absolutely, this is just the kind of story that you hate to have to report on. So much positivity after the trade to get Quinnen Williams in there. But some tragic news out of Dallas. We'll have that for you on the other side. Hour number 2 of the Gary Harris Show is on the way. If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept. Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m. Available for after
to go. Flooring so durable, even your in-laws won't ruin it. Visit New Floors to Go on Greensboro Avenue today. Because life's messy, but your floor doesn't have to be.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprises come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages,
Hammage Rack and Reel, Cypress Supply, Banks and Company of Hardware, Stephen Fights Allstate, B&B Transmission, Primetime Men's Clinic, South's Finest Roofing, and Cajun Bistro.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, Monsi Bolaños.
Lakers and Spurs went down to the wire, but LA survived 118-116 to extend their winning streak to 5. LeBron James will be progressing to live 5-on-5 reps in practice, but will not travel with the team on their upcoming 5-game road trip. The Trailblazers handed OKC their first loss of the season as Portland survived 121-119, and the Nets got their first win of the season, topping the Pacers 112-103. Nikola Jokic with a triple-double, his fifth of the season, as the Nuggets defeated the Heat 122-112, and the Kings took down the Warriors 121-116 behind a triple-double from Russell Westbrook. The Pelicans had a 101-99 win over the Mavericks in Dallas. On the ice, Alex Ovechkin.
Oh my God!
With 95.3 The Fair and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC. This hour's West Alabama real-time news update from the Tuscaloosa Thread Newsroom.
Cold front will move across Alabama on Friday, bringing a threat of severe weather, including a marginal risk for West Alabama. And Alabama versus LSU this Saturday at Bryant-Denny Stadium. Find out what to expect weather and temperature-wise with our hour-by-hour guide at TuscaloosaThread.com. And as you prepare to cheer on the Alabama Crimson Tide, find out what Alabama head coach Kalen DeBoer had to say during his Hey Coach show headed into the Bama-LSU game. Plus, get the scoop on the Week 11 SEC Power Ranking by tapping the Tuscaloosa Thread app.
Tide 100.9 Tuscaloosa weather.
The sky partly to mostly sunny today, the high 75. Tonight, increasingly cloudy with a low at 52. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A chance of developing showers and thunderstorms, the high 73. A small chance of a shower Saturday, the high 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 59 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
The Gary Harris Show. UCM host Tide Insider TV. Crimson Tide kickoff. Play-by-play for Alabama sports and sports director for WVUA 23. It's time for the Gary Harris Show on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, here we go. Hour number two of the Gary Harris Show is on the air for this Thursday, November 6, 2025. Jeff Spiegel coming up at 10:30. All right, some sad news, really tragic news out of Dallas as Cowboys second-year defensive end Marshawn Kneeland is dead at the age of 24. He scored a touchdown in the Cowboys' last game on Monday night against the Cardinals after a blocked punt. He scooped it up in the end zone. Cowboys issued a statement. It is with extreme sadness that the Dallas Cowboys share the Marshawn Kneeland tragically passed away this morning. Marshawn was a beloved teammate and member of our organization. Our thoughts and prayers regarding Marshawn are with his girlfriend, Catalina, and his family. Kneeland was 24. No details were disclosed of how he died, but that is just really just sad. And again, no details at all. His agent described Neyland's death as a pain I can hardly put into words. I am shattered to confirm that my client and dearest friend Marshawn Kneeland passed away last night. So that's just devastating. Some other national notes. Boy, the Lakers without LeBron are doing it, Chase. When I went to bed last night, they were down, I think, about 8. And they came back and beat the Spurs last night 118-116. And they're 7-2 on the season. and no LeBron. And Doncic is doing it. He had 35 last night. And it says, I didn't watch the end of it. It says Lakers survive late foul drama to top the Spurs. I wonder what happened there. So anyway, and more NBA news, and this is not good news. Eric Spoelstra, the coach of the Heat, had a massive fire at his home that he bought in Coral Gables just back in December of 2023, a five-bedroom home that he was doing a lot of work to, had a massive fire. Nobody was at home. That's the good news, but major damage was done. And tonight, in Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime, the Raiders take on the Broncos in Denver, a longtime rivalry. Denver 7-2, the Raiders 2-6, so their team's going in different directions. Denver at home, wouldn't expect this one to be too competitive, to be honest with you. I would expect Denver to win this one by double digits, but that's why they play them. We'll find out. We'll find out tonight. 205-342-9904 is the number. We're wide open for phone calls since the Orlando Ledbetter couldn't be with us. I was talking about the football run game for Alabama, and there's a lot of discussion about can Alabama get the run game going. Right now they're 14th in the SEC. I think they're like 116th in the country. And you're not going to reinvent yourself eight games in, but I do think there's a chance that they can be more effective running the football. I'd like to see Daniel Hill get more opportunities, power back, runs behind his pads. I'd love to see him get more chances in the run game. He's been really effective as a receiver out of the backfield, but maybe they'll go with that. Speaking of Alabama football, Kalen DeBoer had his Kalen DeBoer show last night. Over at Baumhauer's, we carry it here on Tide 100.9 FM. And we got some clips we're going to have an opportunity to run right now, Chase. Let's start out, just go from the top and work to the bottom. Here's Coach talking about how the team used the bye week to get ready for the stretch run of the season.
That's the better way to put it, a bye week, because you certainly weren't off, I know. But after the gauntlet you faced the last five games in SEC play, it had to be nice to be able to work on yourself and not just on the opposition.
Yeah, it was good for the guys, good for our staff. Still a lot of good work getting done, not just about football, but there's recruiting and a lot of that happening. So, but I think most of the staff got a chance to spend some time with their families on Saturday. Sure. That happens probably twice a year or twice during the season, and that's on the bye week, so I know there was a lot of coaches out still even recruiting and watching games even on Saturday, but proud of them, happy with the guys and the way that they came back this week and ready to work.
Of course, Chris Stewart, the voice of the Crimson Tide, with Coach DeBoer last night, and Coach DeBoer was asked about the emphasis for the team during the bye week during practice. Here's what Coach had to say about that.
He kind of, I think, cheers for us, behind the scenes as well.
Awesome. That's fantastic. During the bye week, what was the emphasis, both in practice and away from the field?
Well, you're just getting fresh. We went back right back to work. We started lifting on Tuesday. We lifted Sunday after the game. We lifted Tuesday. We practiced. We're in it. We talk about we went through a stretch, and we got a heck of a stretch coming up, and we're just focused on LSU here right now and only LSU. But one thing about how we operate, and Dave Ballou and our staff just do an amazing job, we continue to get stronger. And I think that shows in how we finish games. But just from a strength standpoint, from a conditioning standpoint, how we practice, there is a pace to everything we're doing that you can measure. You can measure. It's not just, I always go by and tell the guys, I can hear, if we're having a good practice. You hear the pads popping, you can hear the guys communicating. You can just, you can feel the energy, the communication that's happening. But you can also measure it nowadays, with right. The technology we have. And so measuring the strength output and all of that every Thursday. We'll have a meeting tomorrow talking through, just where we're at as a team, individuals, but each side of the ball, and making sure that everyone's upholding their end of the work that needs to be put in for us to continue to get better, because that's the whole goal.
Tell me about.
All right, we're going to break away from Coach DeBoer, and we're going to try to get back to him before the end of the show. But right now, let's jump out on the Gary Harris Show Hotline, 205-342-9904. Robbie Glenn is with us. Hey, Robbie.
Hey, Gary. How you doing, buddy?
Doing great, man.
Happy. Good. Happy Thursday. Yeah, Coach Ellis says some key points there about when we're playing these teams that have, you know, interim coach, they're going to play with a lot of emotion, you know, and try and come after them. And but the only thing that scares me about LSU is they really have a good team. I mean, they with Perkins in defense. Now, I think what's the linebacker number 40? I think might be out, so that'll help. Because those are – they got a very dangerous team with the quarterback and everything. So you mix in with some emotion, a week off to prepare and just try to play good. Bama's going to have to match them intensity-wise and, you know, play good. You know, no costly turnovers and play better than what we did against South Carolina. And I think we'll be fine. But you just got to be ready for them because they're coming prepared.
Yeah, Whit Weeks is the linebacker you referenced who's doubtful. He, of course, dates Lane Kiffin's daughter, but he's a good player, so if he can't go. And by the way, speaking of the injury report, Robbie, I did not mention this, but since you brought it up, or the availability report, they call it, released by the SEC, Ryan Williams was listed on it again. Now, he's listed as probable, but that tells you that he's still got something nagging him. And of course, Alabama's got a number of guys that are out that have, you know, been out for most of the season, but they've adjusted to that. So, you know, we'll see if Ryan Williams is able to be effective on Saturday night. Hopefully, he will, because I worry. Yeah. I've been talking about, I worry about that running game. They just can't seem to get it going.
No, they can't. But they're making strides, you know. And with Daniel Hill getting more reps, and I thought Jam is coming back to form. And I think it was South Carolina. He had that really impressive long run. We got called back for a holding. But that was some great, like, he was just breaking away, running over people, and then making cuts where nobody was even there, and just looked like he knew, it was like he's on the right side now coming back. So I think the running game's getting there, and we're going to need him going down the wind, especially against Oklahoma next week. And here we are. I don't want to look ahead. You know, got to get through LSU, but now Oklahoma's at home, resting, getting ready for that Bama game. So, you know, they're going to be watching and studying film like crazy, getting ready to come in at 2:30. But I think we'll be fine. Let's take care of LSU and then get ready for that game. We owe them a payback. And then, of course, going to Auburn, always tough to play. Anytime you go to their place, whether they're having a good year or a bad year, and that's been proven year after year. So we just got to, you know, get some of these guys back healthy. As far as Ryan Williams, I don't know what's going on with that. Just being probable, maybe he just has some little nagging, but we are deep at receiver, and I think we'll be fine there too. But it would be much better to get him back healthy.
No doubt about it. And like you said, you're right too. It's a one game at a time league. So you got to get through LSU and just knock them off as they come. And if Alabama can play well over this four game stretch, I think they can win them all. And I think they can be 11-1 and 8-0 in the SEC and going to Atlanta for the SEC championship with a spot in the playoff already wrapped up. Flip side of that, Robbie, and you know this, if you don't, you know, you don't bring it every week, and as good a situation as it is right now, 7-1, 5-0, number 4 in the playoff rankings, it could look different at the end of the year. I mean, you know, you drop one of these home games to either LSU or Oklahoma, then you go down to that Iron Bowl and the unspeakable at Auburn upset you, and then suddenly, you know, you're not going to Atlanta, probably not, and you're you know, on the verge of maybe being kicked out of the playoffs. So you got to finish the drill, man.
Yeah. And the one thing we do, we don't have to, you know, look back, but, you know, last year, same thing. You know, it's not the same team, but there was games that went in sleepwalking and got beat. And same thing with Florida State to start the year. So there's games they can look at and say, hey, you know, we got to be ready and go. You don't like to look back at that. It's a different team. But I think they'll look in the mirror and say, no, we got to bring it. So the week off, get them healthy. I think they'll be fired up. Night crowd, like you said, the crowds have been rowdy, been great. Great atmosphere, and now you're going to have another one. It looks like good weather. But, you know, I got a golf tournament Monday, and I think the high is 29 in the morning. And I was like, oh, great.
Of all days for a golf tournament, we've had such great weather. You're going to play golf, it's going to be 29 degrees.
Yeah, that's going to be awful. I don't even know if they'll get it in. You know, a lot of courses don't let you play if the greens have frost on them. So.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you said earlier in the week you can't believe basketball season started, but I'm looking forward to Saturday morning at 11 o'clock.
Oh, I am too. I think it's awesome. Game. And what makes it even better is that with Alabama football playing a night game, is everybody can watch the basketball game before they go, or, you know, have to worry about football. So it's going to be outstanding.
Yep, and then I'll get to click over and watch Penn State and Indiana. I know Penn State's not what they were, but they're still going to hit Indiana a little harder than they've been hit all year. So I want to see how they do, and I think it's at Penn State, so that'll give them motivation. Yep. So I'll be clicking over watching that, see if Indiana's actually for real.
Be another fun Saturday, that's for sure. So looking forward to it. I'm at Innisfree tomorrow. You going to be able to get by?
Yep. I'm going to shoot for it. That is my goal right now, to get back down there. I was there yesterday, had a meeting three, and talked to Brantley and everybody. And so I'm planning on it. If I can get back down there tomorrow, I will be there.
All right. Look forward to it. Thank you, Robbie.
All right, Gary.
All right. 10:18 here on the Gary Harris Show. And I want to continue to remind you about my friends at Game Day Men's Health in Tuscaloosa, 1013th Street East. Beautiful facility. If you're having some issues, and when I say that for men, that could be a number of different things. Maybe your energy level is low, okay? Maybe you're not, you don't have quite the enthusiasm that you once had just to get through the day. But let me tell you this, these symptoms that men have from time to time, fatigue, stress, poor sleep, low libido, weight gain, they're not just annoyances. They can be signs that your body needs support. And at Game Day Tuscaloosa, they get to the root of these symptoms and deliver treatment plans tailored to your goals. Now, it's just about, do you want to feel better? They can help you with that. 15 minutes, they'll have your blood work back. It's a free consultation. They can start you on the road to better health with boosted energy levels, improved motivation and mood, deeper, more restful sleep, reduced belly fat, stronger workouts and faster muscle recovery, and yes, even natural hair regrowth support. You don't have to feel bad. Get in the game. Game Day Men's Health, 1013th Street East in Tuscaloosa. Get by for a free consultation and tell them you heard about it on the Gary Harris Show. I've been there. I can vouch for the facility. I can vouch for the folks that work there, and I can vouch for the fact that they can help you feel better more quickly probably than you can imagine. Get in the game at Game Day Men's Health, 1013th Street in Tuscaloosa. 13th Street East in Tuscaloosa. Let me make sure I get that in there. All right, we're going to come back. We're wide open for phone calls in the next segment. We got Jeff Spiegel coming up at the bottom of the hour, 205-342-9904 if you want to join us. I also can get back to some of that Kalen DeBoer audio from the Kalen DeBoer Show. All that's coming up on the Gary Harris Show. As much as Innisfree has evolved, it will always be that place to escape and have a good time. Whether it's for a game day weekend, to reminisce on college days, or to create new memories, if you're looking for a good time, there's only one thing to do. Head to the Free at 1925 University Boulevard. And don't forget about the Lucky Lunch Meet and Three
Special. Customized radio and digital marketing plans to help grow your business. Hit me up at wyatt.fulton@townsquaremedia.com, and I can tell you more, and let's help your business score big.
Life doesn't wait for when your finances are in perfect order. It just happens. But no matter what surprise come your way, Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans, mortgages, and auto loans. They offer an easy application process and fast decisions so you can stay focused on feeling good about whatever life brings your way. Alabama Credit Union will be here to help make it affordable with great personal loans.
Making it a great spot to catch the game or enjoy a night out with friends. Grandstand, located on 4th Street and Temerson Square, downtown.
Los Tarascos has been serving Mexican favorites like burritos, fajitas, and quesadillas since 1999. Their new location is at 4100 Owen Parkway in Northport. And, of course, you can find Los Tarascos in Tuscaloosa at 110 Skyland Boulevard. The bar areas feature big-screen television so you can enjoy your favorite sporting events. Los Tarascos features daily happy hour specials. And for the best Mexican cuisine in West Alabama, remember, the name is Los Tarascos, with locations in Tuscaloosa and Northport.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. In this, I like knowing that that's 100%. a lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
For more info on marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa, call 205-345-7200 or click on Advertise with Us on our website.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partly to mostly sunny today, the high 75. Tonight, increasingly cloudy with a low at 52. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A chance of developing showers and thunderstorms, the high 73. A small chance of a shower Saturday, the high 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 64 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Where the season never ends. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Jason and I are sitting here dancing, man. We're moving, man. There's nothing like the Bee Gees. Just nothing like that combination of voices, melody. Just makes you want to move. 10:24, and we're going to move back out on the hotline and talk to Pat. Hey, Pat, good morning.
Good morning, Gary. Appreciate you taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I'm getting real concerned about this weekend. They got a cat down there named Harold Perkins. How are we going to keep him off Ty's backside?
Well, you got to block him. You know, if they bring him on the edge, you're going to have to. You know, he's not the biggest guy. He's very athletic, can run, but he's not the biggest guy. So, you're right. You got to make sure you know where he's at. You can't let him be disruptive. I think that, you know, Alabama will have a plan for him, and I feel good about this game. You know, as much as I can feel good about a game. You know how I am. I worry about Eastern Illinois, but.
But I feel good about the game, yeah. But, man, Lord goodness, that other. They coming in here with nothing to lose and everything to gain, and it'll make their season by killing ours.
Yeah, it absolutely will. And don't think that they don't know that. Don't think that they're going to treat this game like it's for the national championship. You're going to get LSU's best. But I still feel like this year with Alabama's team, which is not a dominant team, but is a really good team, that they understand what LSU is going to be bringing to the table, and I think they're going to match it, and I think they're going to. I'm more concerned about Oklahoma from a schematic standpoint with Venables just having had a knack for giving Alabama trouble when he was at Clemson and also obviously at Oklahoma last year when Alabama's offense was totally shut down by Oklahoma's defense. But both these games, man, you got to – like we've been talking about, Pat, you know, you're in great shape right now, but all it takes is a loss or two, and you're not in great shape anymore, right?
No, but hey, speaking of Oklahoma, I got a call this morning at 7:30 a.m. from Greenwood, Oklahoma. That's just kind of a suburb or a little city near Tulsa. And you might realize that's the only city in the United States that's ever been bombed by America. But anyway, but absolutely incredible. He said that he's getting bombarded by Oklahoma people thinking that they're going to come in here and beat us like a drum on our homecoming. They think it'd feel like it being disrespected, Alabama having homecoming. When Oklahoma's coming to town, they said they are undefeated in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Undefeated.
Well, hopefully that won't be the case after Saturday night or a week from Saturday night.
Absolutely. But we can't look past that.
No.
I just wanted to, when you brought up Oklahoma, that she's more concerned about Oklahoma, I thought I'd bring that to your attention. That my buddy, he went to school here at Alabama, and he actually had my son go out and do some legal work for him out there. And he got to meet the guy where the coach out there, when he was on the motorcycle with a 6-foot-tall blonde on the back of his motorcycle and he went through his fence, he actually got to meet the rancher that owned the fence that he went through on the motorcycle.
Lord. And that's something.
Yeah. You remember that. I know you do.
I do. Yep.
But anyway, yeah, he had to do some legal work for him after they actually offered him a job to stay in Oklahoma. But that he said, man, he loves Tuscaloosa too much. Hey, well, you have a blessed day, Mr. Harris. And hey, we got to get people fired up and butts in the seat for this. Do not sell your LSU tickets. Anybody out there listening, do not sell your tickets. Leave your butt in the seat and get fired up.
Well, get by Innisfree tomorrow if you can, Pat.
What was asking for?
Yes, swing by Innisfree tomorrow if you can.
Yeah, oh, yes, sir. That is. I'm going to do my level best to get by early to see you. And, hey, you have a great one, sir.
All right, thank you, Pat. Good to hear from you. All right, 10:29 here on the Gary Harris. So speaking to Innisfree, Fridays with Free tomorrow morning. I'll be there live 9 to 11. They open at 11 with their game day menu for the weekend. But if you want to swing by a little bit early, I'm set up over there by the stage on the side door. I'd love to see you come hang out for a little bit. I'll have some Texas Roadhouse gift cards to give away, which is outstanding food, by the way. I love it. And also, I'm going to try to hang around and eat lunch at Innisfree after the show. So if you want to swing by and hang out for a little while, we'd love to have you tomorrow. And we'll also have our Bama football trivia giveaway contest featuring that shutout print from Alabama beating LSU 21-0 in the BCS National Championship game by Greg Gamble, courtesy of T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall, home of the $99 suit sale. All right, we're coming back with Jeff Spiegel next here on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC, your home for Alabama sports.
The Tide Postgame Show is powered by Pearl River Resort, DCH Regional Medical Center, Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram, and Two Dimes.
Covering University of Alabama sports, as well as the national and local scene as well. The Gary Harris Show, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Oh, yeah, 10:33. Welcome back in to the Gary Harris Show. It's time for Jeff Spiegel, sports anchor ABC 3340, joining me to talk a little ball here on the program. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Gary. How you doing?
Doing great, man. It's easy to say, well, we're doing better than Hugh Freeze, but we're really not, because he's going to get paid about $15 million to do whatever he wants to do. But he did get his tenure cut short at Auburn. And his daughter went out on TikTok this week and said that they were promised 4 years. I'm sure they probably were. I think Auburn was probably promised a little more offensive output from a Hugh Freeze coach team. I mean, it just seems to get worse. And it kind of culminated Saturday night against a bad Kentucky team when Auburn managed 3 points. And that came after a interception set them up at the 20-something-plus yard line. And they got a field goal before halftime. On Sunday, announced that Hugh Freeze would not return as the head football coach. DJ Durkin's the interim. They got three games to go. Trying to avoid another losing season. They're fifth in a row. So just kind of pick it up from there. What's going on with the Auburn Tigers?
Well, Gary, you know, first of all, promises go both ways. You know, I'm sure he was promised 4 years, but you know, he promised to win some football games. So promises were not kept, you know, on both sides. And that's just the way college football is. That's the way the coaching goes. That's the coaching life. That's the occupation that your father chose. And, you know, and she came back later and she, you know, she kind of clarified that, you know, look, I'm not speaking from a point of privilege, you know, but I know, you know, this is what, you know, we all signed up for. And no one feels sorry for Hugh Freeze. Gary, you've been in that situation before where you've been on a golf course and it was a day just like today. And you were teeing off maybe on some scenic par 3 hole, you know, kind of downhill. And you look at the sky and the weather's perfect. And you go, it can't get any better than this. And that's where Hugh Freeze is right now. He's on a golf course somewhere. I know he is. like the 8th fairway. I don't know. He may be at Shoal Creek right now. I have no idea. But he's enjoying life right now because he doesn't have to worry about this anymore. And he always struck me, and all year he struck me that way. In every post-game press conference, it's like, God, I wish I was somewhere else than right here. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way he always struck me. And listen, this started coming on. You know when this started coming unraveled, Gary? It's 4th and 31.
You're no doubt.
That's what
no
it, that's
doubt.
When it started, that's mm-hmm. when it started coming unraveled. Because, you know, you rushed Jalen Milroe with like one guy. And it all just started falling apart then. It's been a slow demise, Gary. I'm sorry I'm interrupting you.
No, I'm interrupting you because I agree with everything you said. I think if 4th and 31 doesn't happen, maybe it's a different tenure. The fallout was immediate. And I also agree with you that at these press conferences, it didn't appear, and that's my opinion as well, that he was into it. And I almost got the feeling this week, Jeff, that he was relieved. You know, it just I'll ask you this because I don't know this for a fact. I'm just speculating. My guess is that he and Cohen and the powers that be at Auburn had been in discussions for a couple of weeks about an exit plan, and you know, and then the Kentucky situation kind of expedited everything. But as far as the money is all concerned, but I'm with you. I just don't think that his, for whatever reason, it went south and his heart wasn't into it. And I think from that standpoint, a lot of people have asked me, well, why would you not wait until after the season? Jeff, you know, I think probably Cohen would have preferred to, don't you? But again, when you lose at home to a bad Kentucky team and score 3 points, you got to expedite things.
Well, and listen, I've been in that football building before, and it's a nice, spacious building. I mean, it's big. It's huge. But, you know, it's not big enough to where, you know, things get spread around that, you know, that there is an exit plan. And the players hear this, and they know that, you know, there was no future there under Hugh Freeze. And they knew that the end was near. How much did that have to do with a performance on Saturday? I would argue that it had a great deal to do with it. Because, I mean, there was a sense of apathy out there on the football field. Like, what are we playing for? What are we doing out here? What are we trying to accomplish? And it was brutal. I mean, Johnny Condon was there and he tweeted, this is the worst football game I've ever covered. You know, from an offensive standpoint, and it was awful. And look, you didn't think it could get worse than only getting what, one first down or 1 yard, I'm sorry, in the fourth quarter against Texas A&M, I think. And then it snowballed. And then the Georgia game, you know, was even worse because you outgained them 238-20 for like the first 18 minutes of the game. And then the last 22 minutes was just abysmal. And then it kept getting worse. And then the bottom just fell out against Kentucky. And you're right, an 0-5 team in conference play. And they made Kentucky's defensive front look like the 85 Chicago Bears.
Jeez. All right. As I said earlier, they're 4-5. So if they were to lose to Vanderbilt in Alabama and beat Mercer, which is probably what most people expect to happen, no guarantees, but they would finish with their 5th consecutive losing season, which with a program with that many resources in the Southeastern Conference, I've said this before, and somehow it flies under the radar. To lose, if that were to happen, I mean, no program in the SEC should finish with 5 straight losing seasons. I mean, it's just too many opportunities for wins, even outside the league. I mean, that would be just unbelievable to me. But having said that, they've got DJ Durkin as the interim. Derek Nixon, he says, is going to be the offensive play caller. Nobody else will call the plays. You got 3 games left. Any chance here for Auburn to upset Vanderbilt or Alabama, in your opinion, and maybe make a case for Durkin to be the head coach? Because he's done a good job with the defense.
Well, Durkin's not going to get the job. They're not going to promote, you know, the interim head coach in this situation. You know, they've got to go out and they've got to make a big splash hire. Now, I don't know what that is. I don't know what that defines it. James Franklin's not going to take the job. I mean, Why would James Franklin take that job? James Franklin just got fired by Penn State after having, what, made the Final Four last year?
Mm-hmm.
Or deep run in the playoffs? And he's going to go to a school that's fired three coaches in 5 years? No. I mean, he's not going to do that. He's not going to walk into that. So he's got a better selection, you know, of jobs out there. You know, to me, Kenny Dillingham makes the most sense, you know, to bring in. He worked at Auburn. He knows what that's all about. You know, he's still young. He's still got a lot of, you know, piss and vinegar, as they say, in him. And, you know, but they've no, DJ Durkin is not going to get that job. And look, Gary, before you start putting Mercer in the win column, don't forget, this is a Mercer team who I think a couple of Saturdays ago had 829 yards of total offense.
They're 7-1.
It's a really good FCS team. So this is a wounded football team who can't get anything done offensively. Yeah, defensively they've been great, but they're not going to win at Vanderbilt. You know, the Iron Bowl, you know, you say throw the records out the window. No, not in this case. And I, you know, the Mercer game is not a guarantee.
I hear you. What about John Sumrall? You mentioned, you know, some coach possibilities. He's a guy that, you know, coached at Troy. He's from Huntsville, played at Kentucky. He's a guy that a lot of people seem to think might be in play there at Auburn too.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard a lot of conversations. In fact, there's an Auburn fan who works in the building who, you know, he's from, you know, that area. And, I mean, she's all fired up about that,
mm-hmm.
you know, about getting John Summerall. I think it would certainly be, you know, a winning hire. You know, there may be part of the fan base who goes, you know, yeah, okay, so, yeah, he won at Troy. And he's doing pretty good at Tulane. Guess what? You know, Billy Napier won a lot of games at Louisiana. That didn't work out too well for him at Florida, you know? So there may be, you know, a faction of the fan base who goes, yeah, can we get somebody better? Can we get somebody who's a little bit better, who's got a better resume? And, you know, Dillingham took Arizona State, you know, to the college football playoff. And, I mean, to me, that puts a check in his box, maybe ahead of what Summerall's got.
Speaking of resumes, because you're right, with all these openings, you know, everybody's not going to be able to get a coach that has a proven track record. Some of these schools are going to have to take a bite on a lower level guy. Just not, you know, the way it's going to work out. But there's not many resumes out there in college football any better than Dabo Swinney's. And you get the chance, you get the feeling maybe that maybe it's running its course there at Clemson. Any chance that Auburn or Arkansas or you know, one of these schools would kick the tires on, you know, on Dabo Swinney and you know, talk with him about it, their opening.
Well, I think I don't know, but I don't think Auburn is a possibility there. I mean, you know, Dabo worked at Alabama for many years, so he knows how difficult it is, you know, to coach at Auburn. I mean, he's seen that, you know, from the outside looking in. As far as those other programs, I mean, if Dabo's looking for a change of scenery, if Clemson is looking for a change of scenery, and they have a parting of the ways, I mean, this guy has proven, you know, that he can win, and he can win big. And so, I mean, there are a bunch of schools out there who would be lucky to have Dabo Swinney, you know, as coach of their football team. He'd win the press conference, no doubt about it. He'd kill it at the press conference. And I think he's still got a lot of football games left to win in his future, without a doubt.
Jeff Spiegel with us, sports anchor, ABC 3340, host of the EOG Wrap on Saturday nights following the primetime game on ABC. Let's talk about Alabama and LSU from the standpoint of Alabama has positioned itself beautifully, but you got to finish the drill. And that starts on Saturday night against the LSU team. We'll come in with an interim coach. We got four of these situations going on in the SEC. Frank Wilson takes over for Brian Kelly. What do you see in this matchup?
I mean, LSU's probably going to come in after a bye week, and there may be a few wrinkles, you know, they'll throw in there offensively, you know, with a new play caller, Alex Atkins. But, I mean, to me, here's the thing with LSU, and here's the thing that that doesn't really get fixed, you know, during a bye week. They've got an interim head coach, but you know what? They could also do with, you know, getting an interim center, an interim left guard, an interim right guard, an interim left tackle, an interim right tackle, because their offensive line has been porous. And Garrett Nussmeier is a beat-up individual, you know, because of how poorly that offensive line has played and is protected. And they've shown, you know, they can make explosive plays. But they've also shown that they put their quarterback in some very dangerous situations and situations that are harmful to his health. And so I don't see that getting fixed, you know, during a bye week. I mean, I see Alabama, you know, winning this game, you know, pretty handily at home. And I can't see otherwise.
Let's quickly discuss what UAB's got going on with Alex Mortensen. Incredible win over Memphis. Kind of got back on script at UConn. Where do they stand with their quarterback competition, and what are Mortensen's chances of winning that job or getting that job on a full-time basis?
I don't I'm not sure. I mean, I think it depends on how the rest of the season plays out, you know, in terms of, you know, Alex's opportunity, you know, to get that job. I certainly don't think it would be a bad hire. Jimbo Fisher's name has been thrown out there for a little while. And listen, there's no doubt. We talked to Jimbo Fisher a couple of weeks ago at the quarterback club, and he left no doubt that he's going to coach somewhere next year. I asked him, I said, when you say you want to coach somewhere next year, well, what are you looking at? You're looking at a Power Four or bust or UAB? He goes, anyone who's committed to winning,
mm-hmm.
you know. So, I mean, we'll see where that goes. In terms of the quarterback, you know, Jalen Kitna made a really bad throw in the red zone last week against UConn, and that got him pulled. And they put in Ryder Burton, who played really well against Memphis. So, you know, Alex hasn't mentioned, you know, who's going to be the starter as of yet. But it wouldn't surprise me if Ryder goes out there to start the game at Rice. And then they kind of go from there.
All right. And high school football, we're scrambling a little bit trying to figure out the schedule with a lot of games being moved to Thursday night. you and I both are working on that kind of together. But I do want to ask you about an interesting matchup in Class 7A tomorrow night. And Hoover's a good football team, but boy, what a tough draw to have to go to Central Phoenix City in their 7A opener tomorrow night. Boy, Central Phoenix City, outside that loss to IMG, which nobody seems to beat, they have been a dominant football team this year. Any shot for Hoover to pull an upset tomorrow night?
I don't think so. I mean, I think Central Phoenix City wins that game, and that's kind of Hoover's fault. They put themselves behind the eight ball earlier in the year, you know, with a loss to Hillcrest
mm-hmm.
and a loss to Hewitt Trustful as well. And so that kind of they rallied a little bit, but you know we knew the loser of that Hoover Vestavia game was going to be in bad shape, you know, when it came to the playoffs, because the loser was going to have to go to Central Phoenix City and try to deal with the Red Devils. So I think three of the Region 3 teams win, but I think the one that had to go to Phoenix City, I think we could see coming from a mile away that was not going to end well. So I see Hoover's season ending tomorrow night.
All right, going to be busy tonight, going to be busy tomorrow night. Then, of course, obviously Saturday night, you get the perfect scenario for the EOG wrap. You get to follow Alabama-LSU.
Yeah, Alabama-LSU. We'll have live coverage of Kalen Bohr's press conference and also hear what Ty Simpson has to say. And looking forward to it. Another Saturday of college football. You think you're going to know? Think you know what's going to happen, but you never do know, Gary. So that's the fun of it.
That's the beauty of it. It's true reality TV. Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.
All right, 10:50. We're going to come back and wrap up this edition of the Gary Harris Show. Get you ready for the TGIF edition tomorrow with Fridays at 3. We'll do that right after this.
efficiency, advanced technology, and plush comfort. Tuscaloosa Mazda, 3100 Skyland Boulevard East, or online at TuscaloosaMazda.com.
If you haven't already, you've got to try Tuscaloosa's unique breakfast, brunch, and lunch concept, Brick and Spoon, downtown Tuscaloosa, Timberson Square. It's fresh food with a Cajun flair featuring a full bar with build-your-own Bloody Marys and mimosas. Open daily, 7 a.m. until 2 p.m., available for after-hours events.
Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Sky partly to mostly sunny today, the high 75. Tonight, increasingly cloudy with a low at 52. Tomorrow, mostly cloudy. A chance of developing showers and thunderstorms, the high 73. A small chance of a shower Saturday, the high 76. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 70 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Hot! Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
All right, 10:54, we're winding it down for this Thursday edition. Of course, tomorrow, Friday's at the Free, 9 to 11, live from Ministry Hours Pub. Get your football weekend kicked off early. Come by and see me a little bit early, then have lunch beginning at 11 o'clock. All right, let's jump out on the hotline and talk to Cole. Hey, Cole.
Y'all didn't get my take. I think Summerall is going to go to Auburn.
Well, I think there's a good chance for that. Yeah, I think he's one of the top candidates. I actually saw it on the message that you sent me, but I knew that you'd called in, so I was going to let you pass it along on the air. But I think he's a top candidate. I agree with you.
And I like Joe Brady at LSU.
Yeah, Joe Brady might get some interest from LSU. There's no doubt he had a great track record there that one year with Joe Burrow, but I don't know. I think they might be swinging a little bit. For a little bit.
And Gruden's going to Arkansas, probably.
Well, I don't know about that. We'll
where's he going to go?
I don't know. I mean, he may not
go
anywhere.
He's going to get in the coaching business for sure.
If he can.
He's probably tired of the couch now.
It's going to be a fun. The season is great, yeah. And then watching all these schools try to hire coaches is going to be fun as well. It really is.
Yeah, it's going to be fun for sure.
Yeah.
All right, dude.
All right, brother. You going to swing by Innisfree tomorrow?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. We'll see you then.
All right, dude.
All right. 10:56, and that's just about going to put a wrap on it. Do want to remind you, some housekeeping business here. First, lunch is right around the corner. I got a lot of great places that I'm involved with that serve great food. And today I want to spotlight Decades Pub and Grub downtown at Timberson Square. I've said this before. When you buy a sandwich there, I don't care how big your appetite is, because I got a big appetite. You'll eat the first half of that sandwich, and you'll be thinking about, hey, can you bring me a box? I mean, they pack the meat. That boar's head meats that they use there at Decades Pub and Grub are outstanding. So get by and see them for lunch. They got outdoor seating as well, and it's a beautiful day. All right, once again, I'll be live at Innisfree Irish Pub for Fridays at the Free beginning tomorrow at 9 a.m. We will have our Bama football trivia giveaway. We're going to give away the shutout, that print from the 2012 BCS National Championship game in New Orleans following the 2011 season. Alabama got payback after losing a heartbreaker 9-6 in overtime to LSU during the regular season. Tide came back and beat them 21-0 and shut them out to win the national championship. We'll give away that print courtesy of T-Town Menswear and T-Town Gallery in the University Mall. Also, Alabama women's basketball coach Christy Curry will join us. They play tonight, and she'll join us in the morning. Also working on trying to get Adam Amin from Berlin. Brett Pritchard with the Auburn report. That will be interesting. Your phone calls, a lot of fun coming up tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. at Innisfree Irish Pub. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to Chase for his work. We're going to have the Miller's Edge coming up next at 11 o'clock, the Deep South College Football Show from 1 to 2 with Wyatt Fulton. Ryan Fowler will take you home this afternoon from 2 to 6 with the game. And I'll be back, as I said, tomorrow morning from Innisfree Irish Pub at 9 a.m. Catch me on TV tonight with your local sports on WVUA 23, including high school football coverage. I'll see you then, and I'll talk to you again in the morning at 9 a.m. Have a great day, everybody.